Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Dick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the New York Rangers at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, December 17th. Be caller 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the New York Rangers at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, December the 17th. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later this hour at 7:45. Joe, the performance from the quarterback, Will Levis from the Titans, has been better the last four games. This past game, a little bit different. You're down 28 to nothing. It's a little harder to evaluate everything that went on with the Titans offense based on how quickly that game was over. And I think they ran the ball like 11 times in the game with how quickly they were down in the game. So obviously, from a game plan stylistic standpoint, did not play out the way they were looking for last Sunday against Washington. But the four-game sample, the four-game stats for Levis the last few weeks have been very good. What are some of the numbers that stand out to you with Will Levis as we try to evaluate what he's done over this four-game stretch here?
Well, I think the numbers here, they're good, but this is a good example of, I think maybe some people are going a little far with these numbers in terms of what they're saying. And I'm not trying to diminish his improvement. It's clear. But the numbers, and you know, Mike Herndon put out these numbers a few days ago, you know, 61.7%. 96 yards, 8.3 yards per attempt, which is a very good number. 7 touchdowns, 2 picks, 101.3 passer rating. If you multiply that out using expert math like I like to use over a 17-game season, you're talking about like 30 touchdowns, 9 picks. Of course, obviously the completion percentage and passer rating would be the same. You'd be over 4,000 yards. 8.3 yards per attempt on a season is a number.
Yeah.
So those numbers, the last 4 weeks, if you went into the season and you said here are Will Levis's numbers for this season, I might look at those numbers and say, you know what, he might actually get the big deal from this. Not even, you know, he certainly they're going to keep him next year. Like certainly, those numbers. I mean, you're not moving on from him again unless there's just like, oh my God. We know in this organization, Shedeur Sanders is going to be the greatest. We have to do everything we can to get him. But, I mean, for the most part, you're thinking of things other than quarterback. But I think this is a great example of, you know, we've all been watching this too, right?
I mean,
numbers can lie to some extent. And I do think those numbers are a little bit misrepresentative of how he's played. I think he's played pretty well. I think he's played better for sure. And I'm just like I've said before, but I think that the way he's playing, if he carries this through the season, this or better, then I would expect him to be back and to probably be QB1. Very interesting to see what else is around him then, right? But also I think sometimes fans are like taking it like he's playing at a Pro Bowl level in the last four games, and I just wouldn't go there based on what I've watched.
Now, the only one playing on a Pro Bowl level so far is Jaquan Jackson. He's the only one playing on a Pro Bowl level for the Titans, according to the vote. So just make sure we get that out there. Look, I think one question that's come up this week, I think, is an interesting one. And I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it, too. Like, I've heard people ask, all right, well, how much of this is Will Levis is playing really, really good football right now? And how much of this is he's just simply playing way better than he was to start the year, right? Because there is a difference between those two things. Like, he was bad to start the year to the point where, you know, if you started to forecast out what his future was going to be, it did not include being the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year. Like, he was that bad to begin the year. So he's certainly way better than that, right? Like, there's been significant improvement from Will Levis the last 4 weeks compared to what he was to begin the season, with just not only the numbers, but some of the eye tests, right? The decision-making, the accuracy of the ball. I think confidence clearly has grown with him. So there's a significant difference between the way he's playing now and the way he played to begin the year. What does that mean for the overall discussion? Like, I think he's playing good football right now. He's not playing like great elite quarterback play right now. And I'm not saying that he has to, but I do think some in this discussion are taking it a little too far the other way of, well, see, look, Levis has never been the issue. It's been everything around Levis the whole time, and he's not been the issue. And that's just not true. Like, go watch him play earlier this year. Like, he was a huge part of the reason that they were losing games. So he's not doing that anymore. That's good. Like, that's progress. You wanted to see him make progress throughout the year. Now, you also, as I pointed out last week to Karski, I don't think you can just broad brush it like, well, he's made progress from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, so that means he's got to be back next year. Well, the beginning of the year was such a bad starting point that that's not really where I'm making my leap from. I think you look at it the way that he's played, and I would agree with you. If he continues to play the way that he's played the last four games in the aggregate, I think that will be enough to get him into the conversation to be the starting quarterback next year. I don't think it's a guarantee. I don't think that it's a no-brainer that he's your starting quarterback next year if he continues to play the way that he's played. But I think he's certainly the leader in the clubhouse at that point, right? Like, and that's for a variety of different reasons. I don't love the free agent options that are out there. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Sam Darnold. You know, in today's day and age, maybe you could make a trade at quarterback, but quite frankly, I don't think the Titans have enough draft capital to do that, and they need to focus on some other areas of their team. And I don't love the quarterbacks coming out in the draft. So there's a myriad of reasons why I think that that should be the case. But I would caution against going too far the other way that Will Levis has looked like some game-changing elite quarterback over the last four games, because I don't believe that to be the case either.
Yeah. Well, certainly the idea that, like, I mean, you know, the beginning of the year, he's the top of the list of why they were losing. And some things that aren't as good now were better then, right? But it's also – so 100% agree that if we're using, like, the beginning of the year as the baseline, well, then it's very hard not to look better than that. But, again, I mean, these numbers are good. I mean, these numbers are better than just – than oh, he's just better than when he was awful, right? I mean, these numbers are good. And both sides of the numbers, you know, you can look at, like, the other day and say, well, okay, so Washington's up 28-0. Do you think maybe, you know, it was he had a little bit softer zone coverages to throw into the rest of the day? Maybe. But also, you knew that Washington, they didn't have to worry about the Titans running the ball, so they could just – those guys up front could just say, okay, I'm pass rushing every play. I know what they're doing, right? So, I mean, you could look at both sides of these numbers, and I guess you could spin it either way you want to. I still also watch them, and I just think that this is a very difficult set of conditions for a quarterback still. You know, you have a good running back, and you have, you know, some decent, you know, obviously NWI is playing really well, and Ridley's woken up at receiver, but the offensive line play is still so bad that it is hard to evaluate. So, this is encouraging. It's good. It's better. It's not great.
Well, again, like, it's not been perfect from him either, right? Like, we are talking about a four-game sample size where, you know, he threw a pick six against Houston. He's still missing on some throws that you need to see him hit as they move forward here. So it's not like it's been perfect from him. And look, the expectation should not be perfection for the quarterback position. It's been way better than it was to begin the year. And, like, it's okay to be encouraged about it, right? Like, if you're somebody that was just down in the dumps on Levis and the way that he's played the last 4 weeks has kind of opened your eyes and you're leaving the door open for possibility that he could turn out to be a good player after the way he's played the last 4 weeks, that's fine. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I've seen too much of the, he's our guy. Yep, Levis, our guy. I knew it the whole time. He's our guy, and he's going to be the starting quarterback long-term for this team. Like, we ain't there yet with the way that he's played.
No, you shouldn't be. I think maybe, you know, maybe Adam and Portland will weigh in today. I think Adam and Portland might be representative of, and look, hey, I mean, I don't blame him for reacting to information, but Adam and Portland was like, he must be sent out of town, if not the country, At the end of September. And now I think Adam in Portland's like, he's my guy. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Adam. And again, I'm not meaning to pick on you, but he's a daily contributor.
He
I think
is.
he kind of represents sort of that huge shift. And I just, I'm looking at it like just, I mean, I was kind of pumping the brakes even early a little bit, like, miracle flip was bad. But, maybe there's some redeeming qualities here. And now it's like maybe everything isn't great right now.
615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis, his performance the last four games, and what it means for the long-term discussion at quarterback for the Titans. We'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal from Tito's Mexican Restaurant, known for its vibrant flavors and festive atmosphere, bringing the heart of Mexico to Middle Tennessee. Enjoy mouth-watering tacos, sizzling fajitas, and delicious enchiladas, all served with a side of authentic Mexican flair. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis and his performance in the last four games. Joe One Texter says, Levis is buying grace and time with me. I still believe he's got a ways to go. The last thing I want is another Mariota situation. 4 years to find out that he's just not the guy. Needs to be consistently good the rest of the season. Craig on the text line says, Levis has taken a couple of decent steps. Let's see if he can take one or two more steps by the end of the season. This from Craig on the text line.
Kyle Tucker from the forthcoming Tucker and Rucker show. Or is it the Rucker and Tucker show? Which would sound better? Tucker and Rucker or Rucker and Tucker?
I kind of like Rucker and Tucker. A little alphabetic order there. That's
okay.
Just me.
Rucker Tucker. He has a very important stat to throw in on this, which is during those four games we laid out all those numbers, which again project out over a season to be a really good quarterback. He also got sacked 22 times. So let's see. Oh boy. Let's see. The math on that would be, well, certainly it would be 88. And then you add that 17th game. So we're talking more than 90 sacks. So you're on pace as a quarterback to, be playing it. It's not all that far from like a Pro Bowl level with those numbers. And also to have the record for being sacked, like David Carr would be like, wow, I really feel bad for you with your 92 sacks that happened during that 17 game season. So yes, that's another thing that Kyle brings up. Now, thank you, Kyle, for your contributions. He now wants to kill me that I'm suggesting Rucker Tucker, but, and this is a very important thing too. It is that these wild plays are here now, right?
Yes.
The wild plays are a part of they have entered the chat, and they were not there. It's like not only were most things going bad early, we weren't seeing it. We talked about the times, like also like where's the awesome throw? You had like the one, like the deep throw to Ridley here or there, but it wasn't much. And now we are seeing it. I mean, I think that play he made the other day where he gets out of the rush, uses that strength, keeps his eyes up, drifts left, and darts one to Ridley, that's a wild play. So
well, did it cross
see,
body
you want
too.
To see those. Yes, exactly.
That may have been the best play he's made all year, to be honest with you. Nobody's going to remember it because it didn't really result in anything, but that was a heck of a play.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good thing to see. I mean, look, it all that is an amazing thing. And I know that we've also talked about the sacks and the responsibility for the sacks, and certainly the navigating the pocket thing. Kuharsky wrote about that this week. It's a fascinating topic to me because I just think some people have it and some don't. That's one of the reasons I thought Bryce Young was gonna be great, because I thought like he seriously is like Spider-Man in the pocket in college, how he would sense, rush, evade it, elude it, make a play. And I don't know, maybe we're starting to see that more with him. I did get to watch him the other day, and I was like, gosh, he looks like kind of like a good NFL quarterback to me. But how much can you develop that? I don't know. It's something you work on, but I think some people just that is one of those intangible things that, I mean, maybe some people just kind of have it more than others do. So there's some of it on him, but it's a bad line. The other day, again, I still haven't seen these numbers. I was waiting on somebody to give me these, like the time to throw number. But dude, it was bad the other day. It was instant. He was having to unload like instantly so often. And I thought he did a pretty good job of identifying someone quick and getting the ball out, which is why he only got sacked two times in that game, I believe, right? Two?
Yes.
Yeah. So nice 20 sacks in the previous three. That's solid. Woo! What a number.
Well, here's an opportunity for him this week, right? In this much anticipated Mac Jones Will Levis showdown that we're all going to be treated to on Sunday. If you want to go by the numbers, and look, believe me, I am well aware that defensive numbers can be misleading because if you look at the top of this list that I'm about to read off, the best pass defense in the NFL is the Tennessee Titans, baby. They're only giving up 171 yards a game through the air. So there's that. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the worst passing defense in the league by the numbers, Joe, allowing 273.3 yards per game. So the numbers would tell you that there's a
Interesting.
heck of an opportunity for the Titans passing offense this week against Jacksonville.
Well, look, that's another thing here, and I gotta say, I mean the bar's kind of high, I think, on expectations for Levis Sunday. He has gone through, not only have these numbers been very good through four games, let's again, go through the defenses. The Commanders are, that's a good defense. They have a good pass rush. We know the Texans, I mean, the Texans have one of the best, to me, defensive rosters in the league. I know they've been banged up too, but that's a legitimate big time defense. The Vikings, that's the most difficult scheme to play against. And then, I mean, I think that's a consensus in the league, isn't it, from
Yes.
quarterbacks? So now you go to this. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say Levis better go 27 for 32 for 325 and three. But I do expect him to like go out there and have a little bit more time and have a little bit more space and have an opportunity to really be excellent Sunday. I mean, I expect him to be have a really good game, which is, again, that's may not sound like much against those Jags, but that is where he has changed the expectations a little bit with his play.
Well, and if he doesn't, like the conversation is going to be, man, you couldn't even take an advantage of that Jags defense, right? So,
Sure.
like, if he does, then that's great. Like, that's good to see for him coming up on Sunday. Like, the main thing, Joe, is for the most part, he's been taking care of the football. Like, that's what was killing them earlier in the year is just not only the miracle flip and the rolling the ball on the ground. But even like the Packers game, right? Like just getting staring down the pick six to Jaire Alexander. Like just some of the decisions with the ball weren't good. And I realize he threw a pick six 2 weeks ago against Houston. But for the most part, he has done a good job of taking care of the football these last 4 weeks, which is always going to be priority one if you're the quarterback.
Yeah, so it's taking care of the ball again. The one was bad. Yeah, like the one of those two was very it was critical, and they still won. But that you thought that, oh, there's the game losing play, right? In the moment. And look, it's not to anyone's credit that Fairbairn misses a 5-foot field goal, but he did. So they still won the game. But overall, yes, taking care of the ball. There just aren't that many. It's not like I can think of too many. Oh my God, that should have been a pick. Even early in the season when he was throwing picks, there were others he was throwing that I think could have been. And yeah, it looks a lot better. There's no doubt about it. It's like now, so he's changed the expectation. He's raised the bar. So now, can he go beyond it against bad defenses?
Yep, absolutely. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Anders, and Derek Mason downtown at JBJ's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Week 14 matchup against the Jaguars, give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe Cam on the text line says, Let Levis stay on the bench, get a veteran quarterback in free agency as a patch job for the ship SS Titanic Titan. And should it sink next season, Levis and the veteran quarterback can share a door from the old stadium. This is from Cam on the text line. Nice Titanic reference there, Cam. Well done.
Very nice. Very nice. Not as good as my Simpsons today, but that is.
I was going to say.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Second best film slash TV reference we've had all day on the program. One texter saying, would the Titans potentially seek a trade for a veteran quarterback like Prescott? Cowboys seem to be regretting that contract extension already. So I feel like Prescott's probably going to be the quarterback of the Cowboys, but the veteran quarterback discussion as a whole, you know, we have seen trades happen a little bit more often with quarterbacks over the last few years in the NFL. Do you think the Titans could go that route this offseason?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. It does happen a lot more, you know, so I think it's possible. Yeah, Prescott. Yeah, if you're a Titans fan, are you excited about Dak Prescott coming in here on that contract? I mean, I think Dak's a good quarterback, but is Dak a better option than Will Levis? I don't think there's any question.
Yes.
Is Sam Darnold a better option? Yeah, I would say so for sure. I mean, based on the way Sam Darnold has played this year, you know, Sam Darnold. Karski has pointed to him and said, I think that Levis could be that guy at some point, you know, down the road, maybe somewhere else, you know, but hey, maybe it's here, you know. It's also, you know, there are the other factors around that. Like, you know, there's the money, the cap, and all the things that you have to, you know, think about trying to improve the football team beyond outside of quarterback. You know, do you want to invest in a veteran? Is it smarter to? This is where I think if Levis keeps going, I mean, I think it's like, you know, keep building it up, and then look, at some point it may just be like, yeah, it's just not quite good enough. But you, in the meantime, you can potentially have a better football team if you're making good choices. That is, which you have to do. Or, you know, if you go all in on someone, and I'm not talking draft, that's different. Draft, now you're kind of setting the clock back a little bit. But if you go all in on someone, are you giving them the conditions they need to win? I mean, look, again, if you brought Jared Goff to this offensive line, we'd all think he was a bad quarterback. You know, it's just how it is with some of these quarterbacks. And I would say the same thing about Kirk Cousins, who's struggling a lot, by the way. You know, it's just that, you know, you have to think of these other things too and what you need to do. And also how much of a, like, what's the urgency? What's the urgency to, you better at least be in the playoff race next year.
Yeah.
You know, for this front office, there's that too, you know? I mean, ultimately you're just trying to win as soon as you can in this league all the time. But there are still different levels of urgency. If you know you're in a quote unquote rebuild or whatever, then fine. But I don't know that that's the case. I think there's probably has to be some urgency from these guys who are working for Amy Adams Strunk right now.
I would think there's got to be some urgency. And how does that influence what they do at quarterback over the offseason? I don't know. Like, it may just end up being that Levis is your best option next year. You know, Dane Brugler at The Athletic put out his first mock draft yesterday. So we've gotten to mock draft season here in the National Football League. I think he had Cam Ward at 2 and Shedeur Sanders at 3. Well, right now the Titans are picking 7, so that didn't do you a whole lot of good if you're the Titans there, assuming it's them that you like, or maybe it's somebody else. Like, maybe the Titans get through the draft process and they say, you know what? We love Carson Beck. We don't care that he, you know, he comes out there at the podium and says that he doesn't like watching football, which is making his rounds this week. We love Carson Beck. Carson Beck's good, and we can get Carson Beck in the draft, regardless if we're picking at 7th or we're picking at 14th or whatever it ends up being. Maybe they love somebody like that. I don't know. But I think the most likely option could end up being, all right, Levis is the best option we have. We don't love any of these quarterbacks in the draft, and we've also got a limited amount of options in free agency. He did show progress at the end of this season, and maybe you could pick up on that. And the hope would be, and like, if that's your selling point, Joe, the hope would be that you start at a much higher level next year in year 2 of Brian Callahan's system and his offense and another offseason of those two working together, that the starting point next season is where you leave off this season and you start to build on that next year. That's what the hope was heading into this year, and it did not happen at all.
Right. But yeah, continuity, the exact same system and coaches and all that, and you would think a higher level of confidence. And look, an experience at this point, if Levis gets through this year and he's gonna play like this and kind of keep going, keep rising a little bit, well, he will have gone through a whole bunch of stuff and have come out the other side again without knowing exactly where he's going to end up. But he will have gone through a lot of stuff, a lot of self-inflicted stuff, but still, I mean, there's value in failing to that extent and then still picking yourself up. I think, like, with him, like, toughness, resilience, grit, all these things. I mean, I think these things are all positive aspects of him as a player, So there's that too. But yeah, obviously this year, huge disappointment early, and I think that there was a lot of things wrong beyond him. He was just the worst of those things. And some of those things haven't really gotten better. Again, like, what does it look like if you're Will Levis and all of a sudden you actually do have some level of comfort in the pocket and some level of security, knowing, you know what, I'm gonna have a clean pocket on this play. I'm actually blown away by how well he stands in at this point. That doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, it doesn't mean he's a franchise quarterback, but my gosh, there are quarterbacks who would have gone through all this and would be seeing ghosts as soon as the snap comes into their hands. And I don't see that from him.
No doubt about it. Carson on the text line says, honestly, I'd be down for Dak so I could scream, yeah, here we go every Sunday out there. Man, that him being mic'd up. Or you hearing that come through the microphone would be amazing. Michael says, let's see here for the text pull up. Titans must bring in Jameis Winston. We need to be able to have some laughs along the way while the team is booty cheeks. This is from Michael on the text line. Joe, your thoughts?
Wait, we need some what while the team is booty cheeks?
Some laughs.
Some laughs. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, yeah. I got you. I'm not sure. I don't think that that works. That to me does not convey terrible football like Buns does.
I would
That's
agree.
just we've I think we've set the new standard for that right now. Kurt on the YouTube chat says, phrases and word combos I don't want to hear for the rest of the year. Excited plus Titans, excited plus Preds, and excited plus Levis.
Well.
Nashville sports is brutal right now. Kurt, come on now, buddy. It's not all bad, right? Will Levis is playing better. You don't have to be excited, but can you be intrigued? Is that okay? Can you be sort of, somewhat interested, somewhat willing to change your mind a little bit? You don't have to be excited. That's a
One
little bit
texter,
positive, right?
yeah, one texter asking, can y'all have one segment where you can be positive about Levis? Just one segment from y'all.
Really?
And what have we been doing the last 40 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't
I
said,
really
like, oh
wonder,
my
like,
God, he is
the
clearly.
hearing skills that some of you have sometimes on the text line. It boggles my mind. We just said he's playing at a freaking Pro
But
Bowl
see,
level the last 40 minutes on the show. With the numbers, if you
yeah.
extrapolate them out for a 17 game season, you guys ever going to be positive about the quarterback?
So I'm going to go back a previous text from this texter who said the majority of the Titans fans local media treated Will Levis really crappy before it happened. Yeah. I mean, yeah, look, first of all, we went through all that stuff back then too, right? Like, there was a lot of BS about Levis around the draft. We've talked about that. I mean, some of it was not fair, and some of it to me was just cloak and dagger agent stuff, which happens around the draft, and he got caught up in that stuff a little bit because of his goofy TikToks. But yeah, look, we've been, I think, more than fair. I wouldn't, again, it's like, if you sometimes some people think, like, if you're not all the way one side or the other, then you have a lukewarm take. But I'm sorry, some things are nuanced, and most things are gray, and this is gray. I mean, it's better, but I'm not willing to sit here and give him a $250 million contract. Maybe you are. I'm not.
Keith on the text line, Levis improving is doing all of It's a huge favor. Will prevent the Titans from taking a gamble and wasting a first-round pick on a quarterback when it needs to be used on other positions. This is from Keith in Mount Juliet. Right now, I would agree. I mean, right now, unless you're just in, we've talked about this, that the caveat is always just if you're in love with some quarterback in the draft process and you think that it's going to be the answer to your prayers for a franchise quarterback, then you do it. But like, you're not forced to do that if he continues to play this way the rest of the season. Like, you can bringing him back as your starting quarterback becomes a realistic option next year, which is important.
Yeah, and I think that's it's a great point. It's a great way to frame it, Keith. Of course, the problem is then when Cam Ward becomes the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, then, then we'll revisit that take. So here's a texture. So this is the range that we have here, right? Texter who says, everyone celebrating Levis for playing like an average to low average QB. It's hard to see the Titans continue in a history of low average QBs, college players spotty at best, et cetera. Listen, the last four games, that's not a low average QB. Now, again, I think those numbers are a little bit deceiving, a little bit, but I mean, you can spin that either way. The four game sample, I would argue, certainly statistically, again, we did the whole season. That's very good,
Yeah.
right? I mean, it's very good. And the thing is, like you've said, Robbie, if we're comparing it to the beginning of the season, well, then, that doesn't matter. Great, you're better than that. But also, I think that when you keep the beginning of the season in mind, then I think you're just going to naturally be more skeptical about this, which I understand.
Sure.
But if you just take this in a vacuum, it's not low average QB.
Has anybody asked Will Levis his thoughts on playing football when it's cold? He seemed to respond well to the 40 degrees on Sunday. It'll be 50 in the 50s on this Sunday, so he should be in good shape. Jarvis Brownlee should be in good shape. Titans are ready to go with the weather coming up this weekend.
I mean, Levis is from Connecticut, right?
Yeah, he should
He
be
might
fine.
try to go out there and see if they'll let him play shirtless. Just paint his number on his chest.
Like a husky. He's like, yes, bring me the cold. I love it. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I want an ice cream, and I want a hot dog, and I want Rant fired, and I want a hamburger.
Yeah, it is buns. We're talking about Titans, right? We're switching from one bun to the other. Maybe he wrote a country song. I suck at writing songs. My songs are no good.
In my life. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. I enjoyed that mashup, Keezer. Well done. Very nice stuff there.
We need some more country music, Joe. Come on.
Remind me, who was I talking about?
You were talking about Ryan O'Reilly after the post game.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Ryan O'Reilly could write the saddest country song about his own game.
He
actually
could.
Maybe I'll come up with that. Maybe I'll, maybe that'll lighten the mood a little bit.
I am the worst.
But
I scored two goals tonight. I could have scored seven.
Boy, wouldn't that be a refreshing post-game conversation at some point? All right, a little bit of a down note today, but I gotta use this time to pay tribute and to mourn someone who I would not say I was close with, but I think like a lot of people, covering SEC football, knew Bob Holt. We're friendly with Bob Holt. But everyone loved Bob Holt. Even if you didn't know him that well, you loved Bob Holt. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, if you've ever listened to SEC Media Days or watched it, like in the last, I don't even know, many, many years, he is the dominant best thing about SEC Media Days. So first of all, rest in peace, Bob Holt. Prayers to his family and friends, 65 years old. Passed away, I believe, yesterday. Michael Casagrande from AL.com wrote a tremendous tribute, which I just retweeted. But Bob Holt was a guy who always sat in the front row to the right and asked every single person a question. Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and, you know, it became sort of like he became, I think, probably the most entertaining thing about SEC Media Days every year, to the point people were writing about him. And he, you know, even again, Saban, I know we all know Saban now as this lovable, fun guy on game day. You know, he's given Pat McAfee titty twisters and stuff. And it's like, oh, that Nick Saban, yay. Nick Saban, for most of his career, has been an absolute grump. And of course, even Saban would smile and joke around with Bob Holt. Arkansas Democrat Gazette, to me, just, you know, there's just nothing in this business to me that, like, connects with people. I think more than like a beat writer covering a team for a long time, and there's that the relationship, and there's just the institutional knowledge, the expertise. And he was just such a great, you know, we would laugh, like, the question, you know, Bob Holt, you know, and sometimes he'd ask kind of like funny questions, but a lot of times he'd ask really important questions. But man, he asked questions. I mean, that's what you're supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be curious, and you're supposed to, you're trying to find things out. And he was the ultimate throwback newspaper print guy. And he covered Arkansas, Missouri this last weekend, and apparently collapsed on his way back from the press box. So, you know, obviously there's no perfect way, of course, to go out. There's no good way to go out. But I mean, you're talking about someone who, you know, went out on the job, and I think that's fitting. And I hope the SEC, first of all, I hope the SEC never does another SEC Media Days for multiple reasons. But seriously, like, we can't, there's no reason to have them now without Bob. Okay. I'm sure that's not going to happen. So I definitely hope that the SEC from now on has an empty chair, front row, right for Bob Holt for as long as that event exists. Rest in peace, Bob Holt.
Yeah, very well said. And, you know, he's covered Arkansas his entire career. He was Arkansas Sports Writer of the Year 4 times, member of the Arkansas Sportscasters and Sports Writers Hall of Fame, and was also a member of the Football Writers Association of America, on board with the U.S. Basketball Writers Association, and a voter for the Heisman Trophy as well. So passing away at 10:38 p.m. last night. And those around the college football world, the tributes starting to roll in this morning. I just saw, you know, Caroline Fenton give her thoughts on the passing of Bob Holt as well. And like you said, Joe, I mean, it became like everybody, every coach in the SEC, by the time SEC Media Days rolled around, knew who he was. They knew where Bob Holt was. It was pretty, like, as somebody who enjoys, I think, sometimes watching the podium of SEC Media Days, even if the event itself, certainly in attendance of it, could be a little monotonous at times, I did enjoy the Bob Holt questions. No doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was, you know, it was, every single person was going to get one. You knew that. And, you know, I didn't. Reading Casagrande's story, and again, he wrote about him before, you know, during SEC Media Days, but I did not realize that Bob Holt is a fan of the Detroit Tigers and the Green Bay Packers. So,
yeah,
how about that? A Tigers and Packers fan. So,
how many of those exist?
That's me and that's you. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But, you know, just, you're talking about just such a long time of, you know, of just doing his work at a high level. Here's a quote that he gave Casagrande about from this piece. Says, quote, people kind of make fun of me for, I don't know, wearing people down. I'm not comparing myself to Mike Wallace at all, but if you ask someone enough questions, I just have a natural curiosity that I think every reporter should have. I just like to ask questions, end quote. And, you know, it's 65 is way too early. And, you know, I have no doubt he would have done this job for 20 more years. And it's just a huge loss for our industry, along with obviously his family and friends.
No doubt about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.